If you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like to ask you to stand and let's read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, one verse, Romans 6 and 23. And here the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Father, thank you for the reading of your Word. Please, Lord, help me right now as I try to expound upon the text. May you be glorified and magnified. Please keep me very small and out of the way today. Let you be seen. May you be exalted. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Folks, there are 14 days left until Christmas. Anybody just feel a shock go through? 14 days. I remember last Christmas and shortly after I kept thinking, well, you know, we've got another year to go before we got to worry about buying presents and getting ready for Christmas and all that stuff. But just two short weeks left. Has everybody got their shopping done? Well, I'll tell you what, some of us are going to wait around to the last minute, I'm sure. Now, my wife starts right after Christmas and starts buying presents throughout all the year. But hopefully you're not panicked right now sitting here thinking about Christmas presents. But I know that during this time of year, we always start worrying about getting the perfect gift for somebody. I know I do. You think of that person and you think, well, I wonder what they would like, and you know, if something I can afford that they would like, you know. And it's you always have that person, or maybe more than one person, that always seems to have everything already, and so you don't know what to get them. So you start choosing what gift card you're going to get them, you know. Do we get them from this restaurant or this store or whatever? Because really, that's about all you can do after everybody has everything. But we start worrying about it and trying to figure out all these things. I want to ask you something this morning. How many sitting here right now can remember back and tell me everything that you received for Christmas as a gift last year? Anyone? All right. I don't see anybody volunteering saying they can remember. All right, so we see the emphasis that we're putting on gifts this time of year, every year. But we also see how, really, those gifts that we received, a lot of those we never even think about again. A lot of those have left our mind already. Now, probably some of you can sit here and think real hard and go back and remember some of those things, and they might have been some great things. I know we receive wonderful things for Christmas a lot of times, but a lot of them we really never remember again. If you keep going further back, how many can remember 2 years ago what you got? Or 3 years ago? Well, no, those things we just can't remember because they really, although they might have been wonderful things to have, they wasn't a gift that really kept on giving. And that's the title of the message this morning that I'd like to preach, is the gift that keeps on giving. It's that thing that you know that you can always go back and rely upon. You're going to use it day in, day out. It's something that will never fail you and it will always be a benefit to you. The point I'm trying to make here is we put an awful lot of thought, an awful lot of emphasis, an awful lot of worry into gifts for Christmas for other folks. Will they like it? Does it look cheap? Can they use it? Will they take it back? I mean, we fret over all these things, but how many of these gifts really keep giving all through the year? Now, you've heard that expression, the gift that keeps on giving. We hear it tossed about a lot. And it's supposed to be something that you use every day. And so what I did is I went online and I Googled gifts that keep on giving. And I found just a plethora of websites that wanted to tell you about all these gifts that keep on giving. Let me give you just a list of some things. Here's six things that were the top of most lists. First of all, a Netflix subscription. A Netflix subscription. I'm not knocking Netflix. We have Netflix. They've got some wonderful shows on there. And you can fast through things. And you know, you can only choose the shows that you want to watch, you know, that are G-rated. Things that don't have all that awful stuff in it. Also, the second on the list, stocks and bonds. The gift that keeps on giving. The third thing, an electronic juicer. If we buy juice, we just go and buy it in the jug already juiced. The fourth thing is I find is a Sam's Club membership. And the fifth thing is a savings account. And the sixth thing, this is the top of the list, a AAA membership. All right. Now, all of these things that I've just read off are good things. These are wonderful gifts. And if you want to give me any of these, I will take them, okay? But these are great things. And I'm sure all those things are wonderful and everybody would like to have them and I won't turn them down. However, I see there's flaws in each one of these gifts. All these gifts right here are not gifts that keep on giving. For example, a Netflix subscription. I want you to know that you have to pay for that thing every month. It's got to be paid for. So you pay somebody a subscription, you're going to pay for that thing until you finally decide, hey, this is not worth it. I'm not going to keep paying their Netflix subscription. They may go up on the price, and you may say, well, that's too much. I'm not going to do that anymore. But there's always a limitation to that because you got to keep paying it. It don't keep on giving. It's got to be paid for. The gift of stocks and bonds. Well, that's wonderful, but these things could be cashed, and they'll be gone forever, and you'll never see them again. The electronic juicer. Electronics all fail eventually. If you use electronic juicer, you know, bless you. But eventually that thing's going to tear up. One day you're going to get in there and you're going to cram an orange down there on it and you're going to strip the gears in it. And then you're going to be upset. That thing's not going to keep giving on and on. A Sam's Club membership, that thing is getting more expensive every year. And eventually it'll be to the point we can't afford it anymore. And so that's not a gift that keeps on giving. A savings account. Well, those are nice when they got money in them, but once you decide you've got to have that money and you use it, it's gone. It doesn't keep on giving. That last one, a AAA membership. My mother helped us get one of those last year, and I've not used it yet. But I'm sure if I'm ever broke down somewhere, it'd be a wonderful thing to have. But I want you to know that thing has to be renewed every year, too. It doesn't just keep on giving. Well, in our opening text here, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Christians in Rome. And he's explaining about the most important doctrine in all the Bible, and that is the doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of salvation. Romans 6 and 23 is one of those little verses that we always use when we're trying to witness to someone. When you're trying to lead somebody to Christ and you want to take them down the Roman road, you will go down through there, Romans 3 and 23, Romans 5 and 28, Romans 6 and 23, and you'll start naming all these, Romans 10 and 9, and you'll be just going through all the Roman road. And Romans 6 and 23 is instrumental in telling somebody about their lost condition and the thing that will help rectify that lost condition. Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. It tells us plainly and boldly and without fail and without apologies that your sin causes death. Sin leads to death. That is the penalty. The payment of sin is death. And so it's one of those things that we must know. Every sin that is committed creates an invoice that has to be paid. Every sin has a repercussion. Every sin has to be dealt with. There's something got to be done with every sin, each and every sin, no matter how big or how small. You may say, well, I told a little white lie. That little white lie has got to be paid for. There is a penalty for that little white lie, and the penalty for even a white lie is death. All sin leads to death. Each and every sinner, no matter how big or how small, it leads to death. And let me tell you something, brother. You cannot afford the payment on sin. You can't afford it. There's no way possible. Listen, I've never been to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Maybe some of y'all have been there. I don't know. What I hear is it's the most expensive steakhouse in Knoxville. I don't know, but I did go on their website to find out. Let me tell you what I found out on Ruth Chris Steak's website. I went to see if I could afford to eat there. Now, being the pretty large, sizable guy that I am, I'm not going to eat a little bitty petite steak, okay? That's not me. So I went down through and found the one that I would have chose if I was eating at Ruth Chris, and it happens to be a 40-ounce steak, and it's called the Tomahawk Ribeye. The Tomahawk Ribeye costs $115. $115 for the Tomahawk Ribeye, and that's without anything else added. No baked potato, no salad, no greens. Nothing else comes with that thing. $115. You want a baked potato? That's another $8.50. You want some Brussels sprouts, and those are good, kids, wrapped in bacon and covered in brown sugar. Brussels sprouts are $11.50 at Ruth Chris. If you want a salad, and some of you eat salad, that's another $9.50. We're looking at $145 right there, and that's without a tip or anything to drink. If you drink water, I don't know if they charge you for water. I was at a restaurant one time in Las Vegas that charged me $10 for some water. And so it's not cheap to eat at Ruth Chris. Needless to say, I can't afford to eat there. Well, you better believe the price of sin is much, much more than a tomahawk ribeye. It's much, much more, and it had to be paid for. I can't afford it. You can't afford it. So thankfully for us, Romans 6 and 23 doesn't just tell us the bad news. You've heard that expression, there's good news and there's bad news. Well, Paul gives us the bad news first. And he says, hey, the wages for sin is death. You sin, you die. And when the Bible talks about death, sin leading to death, that's talking about eternal punishment. That's talking about going to hell and paying for those sins. That's what that means. That's what it costs. Thankfully, Paul went on to give us the good news. And he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's made a way for us that we don't have to pay the penalty for that sin. We don't have to try to come up with that way. And listen, we couldn't come up with it if we tried. You could be as rich as Donald Trump and you can't pay for sins. There's not enough money in the world to pay for sins. But it says, but the gift of God. You see that phrase, the gift of God. It's used in the New Testament 6 different times. One time, it's specifically referring to gifts that God gives us after we're saved. But all the other times, the other 5 times, it's specifically referring to the gift that God gives us with His Son, Jesus Christ, as being our Savior, the salvation for our sins. All the other times, the gift of God is referring to God's gift of salvation. Now, a gift is something free. You know, a lot of times you'll see offers and they'll say, come and receive the free gift. But they've got a little explanation down at the bottom of the things you've got to do to get this free gift. So it's not really free. Or you may hear the commercials on television, you know, how they have the commercial and it sounds so wonderful and you got all these deals and you got that guy at the end that talks so fast you can't hear what he's saying. What he's telling you is, you're going to pay for this, brother. That's what you're going to do. But the gift of God is free to you. But you know what it costs God? Everything. It costs Jesus Christ His life. God was willing to give His only begotten Son to die for you. I want you to know this is personal this morning. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to know that it is you He's talking about when He talks about the world. And so make this personal to you. And so sin we can't afford. But God gives us a free gift. Over in Ephesians 2 and 8, Paul, explaining to the church there in Ephesus, he says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is, here's the phrase again, the gift of God. You know, one thing I love about gifts is they're always something that you hope, anyway, that somebody has paid a lot of time and attention to give you. And it wasn't something they just haphazardly ran out. I remember one time I was buying a gift for somebody and I didn't really know them that good. And so I didn't know what they liked. And I just went and, you know, I could have closed my eyes and just grabbed something and paid for it. But if it's people you know, people that you love, you hope that they put a little bit of thought behind it. You know, did they sit and think, you know, I wonder what he or she likes. Would this really excite them if they opened this and saw this? Would they really enjoy this gift? And so I like to think that somebody goes out of their way to think specifically about me, to find that perfect gift that they know that Brother Byron wants, or that you want. If it's you, just think about that. Did my husband or did my wife, did they sit down and think about this? If you're like we are, we wait and see each other's list on Amazon to see what we want in the gift on the gift list. But you hope that we spent some time thinking about the gift. I want you to know that God, He's thought specifically about you when it came to this gift that He was giving. It wasn't just something haphazardly. He didn't look out and say, I'm going to give these folks a gift. Friends, God did not do this haphazardly. He looked specifically at you, at your heart, at your soul, and He knew that without His gift, you had no hope. Because you couldn't pay for the penalty of sin yourself. And so He sent His Son Jesus here to do that for you. Now, it wasn't a bargain basement deal that He got. A lot of times when we're looking for gifts, we'll go out and try to find a sale going on. Isn't that what Black Friday was for? For everybody to get all the gifts half price or cheap? Or Cyber Monday? Let's get on there and get, what's his name, that gift that he wants and we can get it half price. The Lord didn't do that. He didn't go and look and try to find the cheapest thing that He could to try to pay for our sins. He went and found the very best that He had. The very best was his son, Jesus. He could not have gave us anything better. There's nothing better than Jesus Christ. You realize the blood of Jesus Christ is the most precious substance on the face of the world, in heaven and on earth. The blood of Jesus, one little micro dot of the blood of Jesus is worth more than everything in this entire world. That's how much God thought of us and the gift that he gave us. God gave his very best, the very best thing possible, his only begotten son. Can you imagine that? Giving your own son to die for people that really were worthless. Sinners. People that would spit in the face of Christ. People that would reject him. Christ came at his own received him not. He came here and did no harm at all on this earth. All he did was come to love people and to show them the way, to be their Savior, to redeem them from their sins. And what did they do? They spit upon him. They beat him. They cursed him. They hung him on a cross. They crucified Jesus, the most wonderful and most precious being to ever live. Can you imagine sending your son, your daughter, somebody that you truly love, to die for people like that? I wouldn't do it. In fact, the Bible says this over in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift of God is unspeakable. We can't even fathom it. I mean, it's beyond human comprehension. Our vocabulary cannot even capture the gift of God. I could sit up here and preach for 3 hours today and I'll never even just get past the surface of the greatness of God's gift of salvation. It is the unspeakable gift. That's what his gift is like. It's so wonderful, I can't describe it. It's beyond my words. Have you ever received something so wonderful it's beyond words? I've not. I mean, I received some wonderful gifts the other night at my mother's house. A nice hat, and it looked like Brother Frank's hat, kind of. I saw it sitting over there in the pew, and I said, hey, my hat's over there, but it's not. It's back there. But I got a wonderful hat, and I love it, and it's beautiful, but I can describe it in detail. It's made out of wool. It's black. It's got a feather in the side of it. Fits my head just perfect. It's 2XL. I can describe every gift that I've ever got. This tie pin I'm wearing right here, I got this a couple of years ago. My parents got me that. It's got my initials in it. It's silver. I don't have to look at it. I know exactly what it looks like. I can describe it in detail. And you can too. Every gift you've ever got, you could say, well, let me tell you about it. And you could describe it. But the gift of salvation, it's beyond our human words, our comprehension, to even realize what God has actually done for us. And we treat it so lightly. We can go through this life just happy-go-lucky, not even telling anybody else about it. That's how much it means to most people. I'm not even going to tell anybody. Wouldn't you want to go? Let me ask you this. If your husband come and gave you this big old diamond ring, you're going to keep it hid and not let anybody know about it? You'd be walking around like this. Yeah. Look what I got. Look what my husband got me. You'd be going around telling everybody about it. Men, you'd do the same thing. What if you got a new bass boat? You'd hook it up to your truck and be driving around all the time with it. Look what I got back here. I mean, we'd be showing everybody this wonderful gift that we've got. What about the unspeakable gift of salvation? What about Jesus Christ? Who are we telling about Jesus Christ? Are we keeping him hidden? Are we ashamed of him? Or are we going around telling everybody, let me tell you about this unspeakable gift. I'm going to try. I don't know if my words can even get that far, but let me tell you what God's word says about it. It's unspeakable. And it is the gift that keeps on giving. But you can describe the gifts that we get down here. And you know what? I was asking you if you can remember last year's gifts. You know, I don't believe I can tell you what I ate for supper last night. But I can go back to when I was just a young man, a little boy, and I can start telling you about gifts that I received when I was a little boy. I remember this cowboy outfit that I got. My parents gave me. It was in a big old box. It had the hat, it had chaps, it had six shooters and holsters, and it had a rifle, and it had the little yellow BB things that you could shoot out of that rifle. And I mean, I had the setup. I had the cap guns. I had the caps that twisted around. You could pull them out, you know, and it always had that little bit of smoke. I can describe that to detail, and I probably wasn't 7 years old when I got that. And I remember wearing that thing, walking around, cowboy boots on, you know. I was Lucas McCain going out there, the rifleman. I was shooting bad guys with that little rubber BB gun. Daddy wouldn't let me shoot it in the house, said I'd put somebody's eye out with it. And you know, all these things. I was walking around with those six shooters on my hips, you know, looking like Marshall Dillon out there in Dodge City, you know, trying to round up the bad guys and Festus. I was hollering at Festus back there behind me. But all these gifts that I got, I may be able to describe them. I can't describe God's gift. But these gifts that I got, they didn't keep on giving. I couldn't even tell you where those gifts are today. I'm sure they rotted in the ground by now after they were give up on. God's free gift of salvation is a gift that keeps on giving. Have you ever stopped and considered all the things that's included with God's gift of salvation? I mean, there's so many, I couldn't tell you all of them. Let me give you just a few. First of all, God's gift of salvation gives us life. Life to a human being is the most precious thing that we have, is life. Without life, we don't have anything. We're dead. And so life is so precious to us. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do you understand what God has given us? God gives us his word, and people treat it so like nothing today. God gives his word. Psalm 68:11, the Bible says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. This word that God gave us that we hold here in our hands is the most precious thing that God has gave us outside of salvation that we possess. And we need to treat it as such. God gives us wisdom. You know, there's a lot of people walking around today that don't seem very wise. But I want you to know, for the Christian, God gives you wisdom. Proverbs 2 and 6, the Bible says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Do you understand where that wisdom comes from? One thing is from the Word of God. That's where our wisdom comes from. When we read and meditate and pray upon the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit reveals to us what God has to say. That is where we receive our wisdom. Not only that, but God gives us power. I'm not talking about power to go down and knock down buildings, or what is it, leap tall buildings in a single bound. You know, he doesn't give us that ability. But Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's what the Bible says, the power that worketh in us. He gives it to us. What is that power? That power is to live a holy and sanctified life. The power to have everlasting life. The power to go on and to reach heaven one day. We've got the power to be the spokesperson for God, the crusaders for God. He gives us that power. God also gives us one of the most important things, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of us. When you got saved, if you've been saved today, immediately upon salvation, I want you to know the Holy Spirit came and moved inside of you, and he lives and dwells inside of you, and he guides you. That voice that you hear, that's not your voice. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, he's the one guiding your direction and your conscience. He's your GPS signal. And without him, we'd be lost. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 8, he therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Another thing that God gives us, he gives us the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. But listen, John 14 and 16. Jesus said this. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Isn't it wonderful to think that we have the Lord Jesus with us at all times? Any time that we need that comfort from the Lord, we can rely upon him because he said so. He said, I'm going to go away. His disciples were confused. What are you doing, Lord? What do you mean you're going away? What do you mean that you're going to have to die? What are you talking about? And he comes to him and he says, hey, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he's explaining all these things to him about where he's going to go. And they're still asking questions. He says, listen, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another Comforter. Another Comforter. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Lord manifest in the Holy Spirit that lives inside of each one of us. The seventh and final thing that I want to talk about is that God gives us eternal life. The gift of salvation is eternal life. John 6 and 47, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Did he say whoever puts money in my wallet has everlasting life? No, he didn't say that. Do you ever say whoever has the best church attendance has everlasting life? He didn't say that either, did he? Now, all these things, I mean, church attendance is an important thing, and you know that. You know it for a fact. But that is not what saves us. That's not what gives us eternal life. What gives us eternal life is trusting in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. for the one to take away our sins, to give us the free gift of God that we receive from him. That's what gives us everlasting life. So the gift of God is truly the gift that keeps on giving. Every one of these things that I just mentioned, seven things, all of those things keep on giving to us. None of these can we do without. None of them can we push away and leave. None of these can we get out of our lives. Once we've been saved, they're there forever. And they're the gift that keeps on giving. In fact, it keeps on giving all through eternity. We can't even think about it. Who is it? Buzz Lightyear said, "To infinity and beyond." That's further. I mean, we're going further than that. The Lord's free gift of salvation, it keeps on giving. Turn over to the book of Romans, back in chapter 5, verse 12, and we'll be finished here in just a minute. Romans 5 and 12. Let's look through this real quick. Romans 5 and 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Let's stop right there just for a second. If you believe the Bible, if you're saved today, you better believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible right here says that all have sinned. All. I mean, nobody is excluded from this. Everybody. Except the Lord Jesus, of course. But all have sinned. And it all happened because of sin that entered into one man, that man being Adam. The sinner, the sin that came into the world that affected us all. We've all sinned. Verse 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but the sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is," here's that word, "the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many." Stop. So sin came into this world by one man named Adam, and it affected us all. And we're all an offense to God. We all are sinners and separated to God, from God. But the gift of God came in by one man, the one that could do something about our sin. That one man is Jesus Christ. And it says, "abounded unto many." In verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, and that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." If you were keeping notes right there, you might notice that six times in these nine verses, Paul mentions the gift. The gift. Because of the sin that we inherited from Adam fell on each and every person, every man and woman, that sin fell on each one of us. We are all on a road course bound for hell because of that sin. I mean, we're hell bound with the pedal down is where we're at. But because of this gift he's talking about, the Bible tells us that our road course has changed. We've made a U-turn. If you've been saved, you've made a U-turn. You're no longer hell-bound with the pedal down, but you're now headed toward heaven. Headed toward heaven. Our map was reset. Our GPS took us on a different route. And we've gained eternal life through Jesus Christ because of his free gift. That, friends, is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, our gift arrived, we know, as a baby in Bethlehem. This time of year, we talk about it all the time. That little baby was born in Bethlehem. That was God, friends. God, the way that he presented himself to man was he robed himself in flesh like a man, was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And that's where we first hear about this Jesus that was born. But Jesus has always been. He's always been. Our gift, after he was born, walked here on this earth for approximately 33 and a third years. He never sinned, never did any wrong, never did anything. Our gift only gave his entire time he was here, he gave of himself, is what our gift did. Our gift was betrayed by one of his closest friends. He was forsaken by everyone that knew him. He was beaten, spit upon, nailed to a rugged cross, took down and buried in a borrowed tomb. Our gift shed every drop of his blood for us, every precious blood. And because of that, all the sins of the world could be forgiven. He defeated death, he defeated hell and the grave just so that you and I would not have to pay the penalty for our sins. That's what Jesus did. Why is the gift so unspeakable? Why does it keep on giving? Because in the Bible, what it says, listen, and we're finished. Romans 5 and 8. Ladies, come ahead. Brother Roger, come up for the invitation. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He loved us. He reconciled us. He saved us eternally. That is why the gift of God is the gift that keeps on giving. Now I want to ask you to stand this morning as we have the invitation song. What are we singing, Brother Roger? 404 down at the bottom of the page. Friends, with Christmas being 2 weeks away, I can think of no better time than today to receive Christ as your Savior, to receive the free gift that God has for you. There's nothing you have to do except for by faith trust Him to save you from your sins. All you have to do, you don't even have to come to the altar, but if you'd like to come to the altar and kneel down here, let me pray with you. If you need me to show you in the Bible what it means to be saved, I'll do that. But if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you come during this invitation song, let me pray with you.